My wife grew up in a boating family, and her husband and offspring have taken up that interest as well. There are a lot of ways that you can enjoy the water behind a boat. You can be on skis, you can kneeboard, you can wakeboard, or you can be on an inner tube pulled by a rope. And one of the things that you learn when you're pulled by a rope on an inner tube is that you have little control over what's going to happen. The person in the boat has a lot of control, and the elements around you have a certain kind of control that you don't. And the sooner you recognize that you don't control everything, the better. Because then you can focus on what you do control. You learn how to focus your body, to position your body so that you have maximum stability, and that whatever is being done by the driver or the elements around you, that as far as it depends upon you, you're not unstable, tending to fall off into the water. There are a lot of things there that you can't control, but the ones that you can matter. We live in tumultuous times. And sometimes we realize that it takes the most courage to do what is most important, not to chase what is most appealing, to pursue what is most lasting, not to gravitate to what is most trendy. And when those times come, most tumultuous as they are, it's those who know where they're going, it's those who can advance without falling over that tend to be the most valuable. It's no secret that we live in times in our own culture, in our world, that are full of fluctuation, full of chaos. We see that even in weeks like the past one. And it's people who are most able to ride out the changing surf or waves of life that show the most promise for the future, and those ought to be followers of Jesus Christ. Today, I'd like to invite us, I'd like to challenge us to be those kind of people, people of stability, people of resolve, and people of courage. Those qualities, incidentally, are embedded deep in the Bible. Paul, who wrote to believers about the fragility of life, said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Or the author of the book of Hebrews, written to those who were often pulled by the lure of hindrances and entanglements, wrote this: "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the author, and perfecter of our faith." There's something powerful about people who have the courage to stand firm, to move forward, to know the goal. Call it resolve. Courageous resolve, and how needed it is. Today's Vision Sunday. My words in the coming moments are not intended to be an expository sermon where we look in depth, examining a passage of Scripture. We did that last week and for many weeks before. We'll do that again next week as we begin our series from 2 Corinthians 6 and following on spiritual transparency. But today's different. Today's Vision Sunday. It's a special day for us to celebrate God's work, to anticipate God's future for us, and to dedicate or consecrate ourselves in submission to Him. And in particular, I'd like to speak about being people of mobilization, people of stewardship, and people of connection. On the back of your worship program, there's a blank page for you to write in these things as we look at them. First of all, mobilization for mission. You have in your worship programs also a communication card, and I'd like you to pull that out because there will be opportunities for you to write things down, questions, comments, interests, and the like. In fact, if you have that, just so I know, would you wave that in the air? A communication card. Okay, lots of them. Some of you are still digging. Find that there. Mobilization for mission. Back in March, we celebrated one of the most impacting baptism services that I've witnessed. 13 people were baptized in our worship services, one testimony after another highlighting God's saving work in their lives, older and younger, male and female, churched, unchurched backgrounds, Anglo-American, foreign born and raised. It was thrilling, and it's the heartbeat of a local church. People who come to faith in Jesus Christ and learn to grow up in that faith. We believe here at Grace in the power of the gospel to save lives, and we believe in the necessity of followers of Jesus to proclaim that gospel. In fact, we just spent 9 weeks earlier this summer in Acts chapter 17, where Paul gave us an example of what it's like to live and share the gospel among people who have little church background, little Bible knowledge. And if we're honest, our world looks increasingly like that. And it begs the question, do we believe in that gospel? Do we believe that it has the power to change lives? Do we speak it? Do we pursue relationships where we can live it out and give it voice? If there is anything that will turn our church upside down, that will propel our church forward, it is a growing wave of conversion fruit. People saved by Jesus. And the baptismal tank, wherever it is, here, there, or over there, gives evidence of that. This fall, October 27th to be exact, is our next baptism celebration. My question is, should that include you? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And if so, have you gone public with your faith through what Jesus invited and commanded his followers to do, and that is to show so in baptism? Our mission at Grace, we want to call people to consider the claims of Jesus, to trust him in saving faith, and to go public with that in the waters of baptism. This past summer, we had a handful of neighborhood impact lunches, a simple, vital way, though, to connect us to one another and where we live, in the places we live. We talked about ways that we can communicate the gospel clearly, and our hearts were stirred as we thought about how we do that together. Many have said that you can fish with a pole and catch a fish. But if you fish with a net, you can catch schools of fish. And that involves camaraderie. That involves gifting. That involves accountability. And as we think about the gospel at Grace, we want to be a church that does so together. We want to be a church that impacts our community, but ultimately through the gospel of Jesus Christ, because only the gospel can actually change lives. At Grace, we believe that the gospel is for the neighborhoods and it's for the nations. It's for people around us. It's for people around the world. We should never believe that until our region is filled with believers, that we can't take the gospel across oceans or across cultures. In fact, that would disobey what Jesus said to us. Didn't he say in Matthew 28, 19 and following, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you? But neither do we ever believe that when we give and send gospel witness to the ends of the earth, that we can then ignore those around us here. See, the gospel is for my street, and it's for the ends of the earth. And we embrace both of those places and lots of places in between. In the past 3.5 months, you've noticed that we've welcomed a good number of our global workers back to Grace. Our goal isn't just to send them. They are the means through which we see the gospel taken to faraway places that most of us have never and can never go. What are those places? Well, metropolitan Lyon, France, and French-speaking Africa through Florent and Laurie Vrac, through creative publishing through Greg and Sandrine Burgess, leadership training in Cameroon, and across Central Africa through Jason and Christy Carmine, urban evangelism and church planting in Lisbon, Portugal through Sam and Tracy Schwartz. Why send them? Because we want to see the gospel go, proclaimed, lived out, demonstrated with love, raising up leaders, planting new churches. We send them, you'll recognize this phrase, in order to multiply devoted followers of Jesus far beyond our church. And you make that possible. When you pray, when you send, when you give, when you welcome. You might be aware that we make large commitments, hundreds of thousands of dollars every year, so that those people can go as extensions of us to those faraway places. And we give sacrificially so that they can concentrate their efforts on the proclamation of the gospel. It's part of how we pursue Jesus' great commission together. And the question is, are you a part, a contributor to that? Part of how we're mobilized on mission is through our own witness. Part of how we're mobilized on mission is through our giving, our financial support. Part of how we're mobilized is through training. And I'd like to make you aware of several training opportunities in the coming months for us. Next spring, 2020, our church has the privilege of hosting the Perspectives course. Perspectives is a comprehensive look at the world Christian movement, how God is causing the gospel to advance, to be proclaimed to the nations and lived out by his people. Perspectives may be the gold standard for Great Commission understanding and exploration. Our prayer here at Grace is that we would have 20 people from our congregation participating in that, in addition to dozens more from other sister churches and churches in this part of Central Ohio. It's a four-month commitment. There's a weekly gathering. There are outside speakers, some well-known, captivating reading as well, but I can assure you that that investment is worth it. On your communication card, if you're interested in knowing more, write Perspectives Interest, or go online to check that out. We will give you some more details, and we'll inform you of some financial perks for Grace Polaris people if you participate. Perspectives, Spring 2020. Another opportunity is what we might call a cultivate community. Cultivate is an opportunity to train people in relating to those of Muslim background for gospel proclamation. We've had three times here, Encounter Columbus, two this year and one last year, in training people to reach out to people of other faiths. And this fall, this eight-week, once-a-week training allows us to build upon that. It's in addition to your regular responsibilities. You can keep your job, continue in school, whatever those responsibilities are, and it's particularly good for young adults. So if you're interested in learning how to relate with those of Muslim background, on your communication card, write that Muslim training cohort, and you'll see opportunities here in Columbus that may even change how you view your life. Every year, we have a handful of ambitious students who enter our 10-month advanced leadership training program. Ambitious, by the way, doesn't just mean young. We've had participants from their mid-20s all the way to north of 70. Singles, married, male, female, any healthy local church desperately needs disciple makers who know God's word well and live godly, spirit-filled lives. And advanced leadership training has a great track record of fueling our efforts at Grace and sending some beyond our walls. There are five more participants starting this month in that. That investment continues. So far, as you've seen, we've had 9 young men participate in our summer pastoral internship. They end up finishing their schooling. Some of them get married. Most of them look to future ministry roles. And because of their 10 weeks here, we have the opportunity to shape, to guide, to help steer them in future ministry. Maybe to help sister churches. Maybe to be involved in church planting. Maybe to be involved in cross-cultural work. Maybe to come right back here to Grace Polaris as we have need and they have gifting. Pray with us as we seek to invest and shape their future. Last week you met Joel and Jarrah Zook. Joel's not one of those interns. He's actually a 2-year pastoral resident with us. And it's our desire that Joel is the first of many here at Grace who take advantage of the ministry greenhouse that our church is so that they might be fruitful in the years and decades to come as pastors, as counselors, as church planters, as cross-cultural workers, or some combination thereof. That's exciting. When you connect with, when you encourage these young leaders, you help launch them into fruitful ministry. And you support their training when you give. We're passionate here about developing leaders, pastors, global workers, church planting, which remains on our radar and in our plans. And we've discovered that the who really matters. We've had recent conversations, and the who of church planting helps shape the where and the how of how we go about that. Be praying that the very best of our commitments, our patterns here at Grace, could be multiplied through new churches from our church. Second area, facilities, finances, and the future. If your eyesight's still functional, you've noticed that a lot has changed around here in recent months and years. 2 years ago, we stood around a parking lot, which is the space we're in, and we participated in a ceremonial groundbreaking of the Forest Family Ministry Center. At that time, if you remember, it was just sand on asphalt. My, how things have changed. 1 year ago, on this very Sunday, we walked in here, and the structure was up, but it was still a shell of a place. My, how things have changed. Today, we sit, we sing, we pray, we talk, we mingle in wonderful spaces here. Classrooms all around, a full-service kitchen, and this multi-purpose space that has served us so well. Think of all that's happened in 8 months in this very room. Praise God for what he's done here. This ministry center is a gift from God. At present, the worship center is being renovated. We're a handful of months in, and if you've been over there since April, you've seen how much has been done, and you've seen the challenge of renovating an existing structure. But there's been progress, and today you're going to have opportunity, as you've been invited, to take a sneak peek at that. After this service, if you haven't been in there, go check it out. And if you have children, glue them to your hip as you go. We don't want them to get injured nor to impede the progress of that. Our desire, our goal, and plans are moving along is that in March 2020, that will be finished. And if possible, we'd love to be in there on the day of, if not several weeks before, Easter Sunday, 2020, April the 12th. How exciting that would be. And a long time in coming, many of you would say too. These facility additions, these improvements, can help us pursue greater ministry, greater outreach as a church. But it doesn't happen by osmosis. It takes intentionality from us. One of the most promising, one of the most challenging opportunities involves people who live close to our church campus here. If you've noticed, in God's providence, this area around our church, within a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, is teeming with people who are new to Columbus and new to Central Ohio. Many of them are young. A good number of them are of a different ethnic background, at least compared to most of us. Some of them are at a different place in terms of the socioeconomic scale. But all of them are made in God's image. All of them are loved by God, and every one of them needs the gospel of Jesus Christ to find new life. How do we respond? What are the opportunities? Well, they're much in every way. I'd ask you, Grace Polaris Church, to pray about creative and fruitful ways that we can come into contact with them in these spaces and where they are so that we might highlight the gospel to them. Spaces really matter. I want to say a huge thank you to so many of you who have given to Reaching Beyond our capital campaign. Your generosity, your sacrifice has helped make this facility possible and the renovation across the way. Several dozen of you made commitments or pledges that are yet outstanding this year or next, and we're counting on those, and we're grateful for your fulfillment of them. As Augie said earlier, with renovation work, there are always some unexpected costs, and the worship center is no exception. So for all of us, and especially for those of you who weren't maybe able to contribute the first time, you're invited to give to that. You can write a check to Reaching Beyond and help us as these spaces are finished and we take advantage of them for gospel good. As a church, I want to commend you for your financial stewardship this summer. It was a challenging year. We heard that. But our summer giving has been solid. Summer, newsflash, can often be soft in that regard. But we made up $30,000 in the month of June. We're on budget so far, and that's fantastic. Thank you. Another way to look at that is that we have needs to replenish a reserve fund, and we also want to operate with tailwinds so that our ministries are fully supported and we can pursue that gospel mission without that hindrance. With the completion of the Reaching Beyond Capital campaign, looking at a good current budget, I believe that's more than possible. All of us have something to give, various amounts. Each of us can do our part, whether it's income or assets or estates. We want to practice generous giving as God has given to us, as together we multiply devoted followers of Jesus, even in that way. This fall, beginning on September the 15th, in 3 weeks, begins Financial Peace University. It's well known to lots of people, a very successful program, and many of you have participated. And the goal of FPU is not just to get your finances in order, you know, budgets and spending and debt and saving and giving. It's to help you experience the liberation of biblical financial stewardship. One of my biggest surprises in pastoral ministry is the number of people who live with the constant noose of financial pressure. And so many people with some altered choices or habits don't have to. Is that you? Few things in life can be so freeing as to no longer be mastered by money, but to master it in the power of the Spirit, to be released to personal contentment and relational harmony, even in the home, and God-honoring generosity. Just indicate on your communication card, FPU, Financial Peace University. You don't commit to anything there, simply interest in that. We ought to fill up that class in a way of responding to our stewardship before God. Don't say one more time, I know I need to. I know that would be good, and then put it off. Do it. The training rewards especially you many times over. Finally, committed community connections. You know, we need each other. There have been studies of babies and children done who don't have contact with other human beings, and they tend to shrivel up or their lives go awry. What makes us think that as adults it's different? We too need the connection and camaraderie of one another, not just physically, but also spiritually as we follow Jesus. The idea that we can thrive without that is kind of ridiculous. I find it interesting that when Paul writes his letters, he doesn't write to the scattered Christians wherever you are. Again and again, he writes to the church at this particular location. Because Paul, like Jesus, believed that following Jesus was a communal pursuit. It wasn't a bunch of lone rangers. One of my mentors said, there's no evangelism without confrontation. That's the gospel. There's no community without commitment. I think he's right. That's why it concerns us, it troubles us when people come to Grace and for many months or years just kind of hang around the fringe. Commitment matters to us. That's why we think church membership matters. After you've learned who we are and checked out what we believe and how we minister to one another, that you jump in and say, I'm in with this group. This is my spiritual family. A committed connection. And that means groups. Groups matter to us. You've heard that today. At Grace, with very few exceptions, we believe that every follower of Jesus should be part of a committed group. Not a group where you look at the back of people's heads. That's where you are right now. But a group where you learn to know one another, where you support one another, where you feel responsible for one another. A committed group where you can count on them and they can count on you. And we have several pathways for that at Grace. We've got dozens of Grace groups here. They meet throughout the week, mostly in homes, usually following our sermon-based model. Sunday evening all the way to Friday evening. Older, younger, in between, singles, married. Hundreds of you are involved. And I'd encourage hundreds more of you to be. The blessings are many. Indicate that on your communication card or in the material in your worship program. Another way is through Sunday morning community groups. At every hour, 9 o'clock and 10:45, in the classrooms around here are Sunday morning groups. You're already here. There's already children's ministry from age 0 to 14. Let me encourage you, if that's the group for you, to check it out. We have some great leaders and some nice people who don't bite in those groups. Come and be a part of those. You will find the blessing to be more than you expected. We offer men's and women's groups here at Grace. Multiple men's Bible studies, including a Wednesday training time this fall. Ladies through women's Bible study, over 100 ladies typically participating on Thursday morning and evening, in addition to MOPS and to Women on Mission. Is that for you? Is that the group that you can be a part of, to be known and to know and to follow Jesus with others? See, our desire is not to overwhelm your schedule. We really can't do that anyway because we each make choices. But it's for you to be connected and to be committed in a relational group, a place where you're known, a place that you can count on them and they can count on you, a place where you show up with regularity, where you show up with expectation, a community, fellow travelers following Jesus. It's more than just a Sunday morning worship service. It's a platoon. It's a refuge. It's a team. It's a family. I can't say it any stronger. Join and be involved, committed to a group. If you don't know what the best option is, but you're willing to take that step, on your communication card, write interest in a group. Maybe you'll put grace group or Sunday morning group or a men's or women's group. For 2,000 years, it's been true that the Church of Jesus Christ is at the center of God's plan. And that's most vividly expressed, not in the concept, but in real live local churches. There are other Christian organizations and ministries and missions, schools, but none of them have been given the disciple-making mandate like the local church. It's the local church that has this cradle-to-grave focus, that walks with you on the mountaintops and in the valleys of life. It's the local church that fosters healthy families, that equips you for service and for witness. The church is primary in the program of God. And at Grace Polaris Church, our desire is to be as fruitful, to be as healthy as possible in the midst of unstable, tumultuous times. There are a lot of elements that you can't control in life, and you don't always know how fast or where you're going. But in the power of the Spirit of God, you and I and we learn to have courageous resolve to stand firm, to move ahead in the grace and power of our Lord. I'm going to ask the musicians to come as we close on this Vision Sunday. But as we do, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'd like you to read with me on the screens two places in Ephesians chapter 3 where Paul gives primacy to the local church and to the church of Jesus Christ and what he does through us. Would you read that aloud with me before we respond in song? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Say it with me. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.